Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
This is our final hour of dealing with the subject of vengeful djinn. And we're asking your questions of Rosemary Ellen Guiley and Philip Brockno. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Chris, you have some more questions from the forums.
I do. Before I go on to forum questions, though, I do want to kind of dive in a little bit deeper about this connection between humans and djinn, and whether these types of connections can be induced by humans. There's a very interesting section in your book where you talk about Aleister Crowley, and you talk about H.P. Lovecraft, and other individuals that may have had some sort of inside knowledge that allows them to be in a position to inadvertently or by design establish connection with djinn. And one interesting instance that you note in the book occurred in December 1909 when Aleister Crowley and Victor Newberg, his assistant, were in Algeria, and they went out into the desert to conduct rituals for the purpose of accessing high-level ethers, I guess, for the lack of a better term, in what was called in the 19th call of Enochian magic. Now, a lot of our skeptics, of course, are going to be rolling their eyes about this point, but having a bit of a knowledge about ritual magic, and I know, of course, Rosemary has quite an extensive knowledge in this area. What do you think of the whole idea of actually manifesting willfully the djinn? And would you comment on this very peculiar episode that Crowley and Newberg supposedly, allegedly went through, and now, you know, outside of Algeria?
I think it is indeed possible to conjure up the djinn, and there are all sorts of magical procedures for this in the Eastern world, and some of these magical incantations and methodologies that infiltrated into the Western magical system can do the same. And these entities are not always called djinn, but they may be one and the same. And I couldn't help but notice a lot of similarities to Lovecraft's work, the old ones. I think that Lovecraft probably had some knowledge of the djinn, which he didn't formally acknowledge, that became embedded in his what he said was a fictional work, the Necronomicon, but may in fact have drawn on something more real than that. Now, the case with Aleister Crowley, he was in contact with very high-level and very powerful entities, which were called demons. But the term demon really doesn't necessarily mean a satanic agency bent on destroying the human soul. Demons refer to a wide variety of entities that have the capability of interacting and interfering with people. And that one episode in the desert, Corin, where they conjured up this demon Corazon, the demon of the abyss, a very powerful entity, Crowley went into a trance, and his assistant Victor Newberg was left inside the magic circle, the protection of the magic circle. The entity was conjured into the magic triangle, and in magic this is a system set up to protect the practitioner. The entity is sort of bound into this circle and can't, or the triangle, and can't move into the circle. But it managed through shape-shifting and through invective and anger to breach the magic circle and attack Newberg. And the story is told that the two of them, the entity and Newberg, actually physically wrestled. And Newberg was physically injured from this while Aleister was in this trance situation. And eventually Victor quelled the entity and sent it back out. It was said afterwards that Aleister Crowley was forever affected by this mentally, that the state of consciousness that he had to go into in order to make contact with Corazon had sort of rendered him at least partially insane for the rest of his life. And the various interpretations were put on this, that maybe it was a projection and not an actual entity. You have to allow for the fact that Aleister Crowley was an embellisher, you know, and he did seem to have genuine magical talent, but yet he liked to be over the top too. And but even if you take away that, even if you take away the embroidery that's probably in this story, you're still left with an encounter with this very powerful entity, which bears a lot of resemblance to Jin.
Yeah, and I think Newberg was, you know, permanently affected by this. I think, didn't he commit suicide, if I remember correctly? Or I think he met some pretty nasty ending, if I remember correctly. It's been a while since I visited that particular story. But it seems to me that an encounter of that sort would leave a lasting impression, and so it wouldn't surprise me at all if this could be part of why Crowley became so adamant about breaking the back of the Victorian age, basically. This kind of leads us into another question, and that is close encounter cases such as the Betty and Barney case. Of course, Betty and Barney Hill. In the early 60s, one of the, I guess, sort of linchpin abduction scenarios, one of the first that we have on record, that's fairly well documented. Blowfish wants to know if there is some sort of connection between the abduction phenomenon as it manifests in the modern day and the djinn. And we have kind of basically touched on this, but looking at it from a pure field investigator point of view, do you think there are a percentage of cases that are been lumped into the abduction scenario that are actually some sort of contact with djinn?
Oh, I think there are, because from the very early days of my investigation into the UFO phenomena, especially the abduction cases, you see that there are different types of abductions and contact that is taking place. And, you know, I'm not saying djinn are responsible for all the UFO abductions, but they may be responsible for a certain number. For example, you have abductions that seem to be extraterrestrial in nature. And, of course, we don't know if they are or not for sure. But you also have these abductions that seem to be dimensional in nature, where the beings are almost reptilian in shape. They seem to change shape. They seem to abduct people by taking them through portals into, and then they're in a room and so on. So all the abduction cases are not typical physical Betty Hill sort of abductions. And by the way, Betty Hill I knew very well. Her very early abductions, when I first heard the original tapes that were played to me by John Fuller of the hypnotic session with Barney and Betty Hill, I mean, I was convinced right there in the 80s that, you know, they were alien abductions. But later on, you know, it was conversations that I had with Betty on the phone. Her contacts and her ongoing experiences seemed to be more metaphysical or more dimensional in nature rather than physical extraterrestrials. It's hard really to place a finger on it because her ideas and her contacts seem to be more dimensional in nature as time went on. And you see this with a lot of people who've experienced abductions. After a while, their stories seem to be more like ghost stories or encounters with demonic entities and hauntings rather than visitors from another star system. So I imagine that a certain percentage of abductions are from dimensional beings, ultra-terrestrials, and of course, ultra-terrestrials are djinn. That's what the folklore, the legendary name for them is.
The book is called The Vengeful Djinn. With us this evening, the authors, Rosemary Ellen Guiley and Philip Imbrogno. And we're tying a whole bunch of things together. The djinn, UFO abductions, UFOs in general. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
You expect professional service from your doctor, your accountant, and even the girl who takes your morning coffee order. Why not from your domain registrar, too? Namecheap.com provides stellar service with no sneaky upselling. We offer more features and security options for your website than there are ways to order a latte. And new domains come with WhoisGuard to protect your personal info. At Namecheap.com, you can get your domain for as low as $2.99. Now is a great time to get to know Namecheap.com.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
This message starts with a great offer from Big Berkey Water Filters, because we don't want you drinking dangerous water 1 minute longer. Right now, purchase any filter system from BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com to get your choice of two Berkey Sport bottles, a KDF shower filter, a set of fluoride filters, or our new sight glass spigot absolutely free. Why do this? Because over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated, and at less than 2 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify both treated and untreated water, removing dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and other contaminants. Big Berkey water filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, so they're perfect for rainwater collection systems and emergency preparedness. Remember, Big Berkey includes free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkey waterfilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call today 1-877-99-BERKEY.
The largest part of gaining radiant health is detoxification. You can drink ionized water, cleanse your intestines, eat a perfect diet, and even take lots of quality supplements, and in many instances, only make minimal progress. What is the key to detoxifying your body of mercury, heavy metals, chemicals, and drugs? It is glutathione. Glutathione is the master antioxidant used to detoxify your entire body. It stops free radicals, keeps cells young, and reduces inflammation. One World Whey protein powder may be able to raise your glutathione production by 64% or more. One World Whey is more effective than any other whey protein powder on the market because it is unheated and from grass-fed cows. All other, quote, cold-processed whey protein powders have been heated and damaged by 15% or more. One World Whey comes in three delicious flavors. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldway.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
We're back with Rosemary Ellen Guiley, Phil M. Brogno. The book is The Vengeful Djinn. And I had a question before we go on. Chris O'Brien asks some more responses from our forums, and that is this. Okay, we talk about the people, the djinn, the creatures coming here. What about going there? Can we go there?
I think we probably do sometimes. I think we yeah. fall through the window in the opposite direction as well. There are some precedences for this in the fairy lore, where people stumble through that doorway in the fairy wrath, or how as it was called, the mound leading into the underworld, and had incredible experiences. Now, in fairy lore, if you stumbled into fairyland, the odds were very slim that you would come out. The fairies would hold you captive there. It's sort of like a one-way doorway. We can speculate that some of the many cases of missing people on this planet every year might be cases where individuals fall through these one-way trap doors into a variety of parallel dimensions, including the land of the djinn, and are either unable to find their way back, or perhaps they are prevented from finding their way back.
Or maybe caught in a time dilation and show up 20 years later like Rip Van Winkle.
Oh, that's right.
This kind of brings me into a very interesting question from one of our proud skeptics on the forum. Trained Observer calls himself Paranormally Perplexed. And his question is, ask Phil just how much a believer, and that's italicized, he is in the djinn legends. From hearing him talk on a recent radio show, he had a true believer sound to a lot of what he was saying. I've always had a lot of respect for Phil's work. Is this a case where he has real evidence that has persuaded him that these things are real and the stories about them have some validity? And if so, what is it? I have to tell you, when people start talking about interdimensional grudges and what have you, I wonder just how much or how this information can be assessed to any reasonable doubt
extent. Yes, both. This is something that I'm working on to document. The answer to that question, I don't believe in the mumbo-jumbo of the djinn, you know, all the Islamic stuff that's, you know, the magic and the Muslim stuff that goes back to the ancient Persian times with the magical rituals and all that there. I'm a scientist, but I do believe that, you know, there is all this phenomena manifesting into our reality. And a great percentage of it is not just the pipe dreams of an overactive imagination of a bored society. People are experiencing something. People who didn't even care about paranormal phenomena are experiencing all of these different things. So it seems that there is this other reality that's close to us. And there seems to be an intelligence in this other reality that's close to us. We go back and we can find out that, yes, the Muslim people, the Persian people before that, they did believe in this other reality and that it was inhabited by beings. So I'm saying right now is that, you know, you have to open your mind to it. I'm presenting evidence and I'm presenting stories and evidence that I've acquired in the Middle East. And Rosemary and I have done in a lot of our investigations into the djinn and attaching the folklore to modern times and even paranormal phenomena in the UFO phenomena with this idea of dimensional beings in the multidimensional universe. And you have to remember also that now it sounds like mumbo-jumbo magic, a lot of wide ideas and so on, but the idea of a dimensional universe may be our science of the late 21st and 22nd century. Back in the 1700s, the idea of space travel would have been considered pipe dreams and the ravings of fanatics. But today, it's a fact. So I think the human race is once again on the verge of a new awareness into the true nature of the universe. And we just can't dismiss anything. We have to consider that the legends of our ancestors, some of it reflected real experiences.
I applaud that answer, and that's I'm taking notes because when I'm asked that, I want to be able to be as eloquent as you were in answering that question. Because
well,
as Rosemary,
you should catch me on a better day, on a good day. You know?
That was good though, and as Rosemary knows, as well as Gene, that by going out and being active in this field and, you know, exposing yourself to people that have had extraordinary experiences, you really have to be as objective as possible. And the question is whether you believe in the djinn legends. Obviously, you don't believe in them by literal definition. But, boy, you sure take into account that this is a cross-cultural phenomenon in terms of various cultures have their own descriptions that seem to be describing something very similar. So it's not something that you can just discount. I think it does give us a leg up on an investigative process that we're going through here. Another question that came up in my mind has to do with just the whole idea of what is the tipping point. The jinn obviously have not been able to, you know, going with the assumption that there is some reality behind this, they haven't gotten to a tipping point where they're able to manifest control, you know, in a large way over humankind and human culture. But what do you envision is sort of their goal in terms of trying to regain control of Earth or this reality? What do you think it's going to take for them to actually get there? Is it the human race annihilating itself and they kind of win by default? Or is there some proactive thing that they can do short of that to have control?
I think there's two trains of thoughts with the jinn society. At one time, jinn interacted and coexisted with human beings on this planet. Each respected the other's space, so to speak, and there was some contact back and forth. I believe that some of the more established jinn hope that this is going to happen again someday, but they have to wait to a point until the human race reaches a certain level of understanding and development, because right now we would consider them invaders. But there is another faction of jinn that only has one idea. The only way that they could come back into this world is get rid of the competitors, and that's extinguish every human soul on this planet, or knock down the population to a certain number and enslave us. There are many beliefs. There are many beliefs over in the Middle East with not only clerics and holy men, but also people who are involved with the sciences over there that consider the dimensional idea. And believe it or not, I mean, it's almost a scary thought. There's almost the idea that the jinn are establishing beachheads for an invasion.
And another thing to keep in mind, Chris, is we really don't know the extent of their activities among us because they are the hidden ones, and they're very good at disguising themselves. So we have probably only the tip of the iceberg noticeable to us now in the most standout kinds of examples and cases.
I'll tell you what, we'll get into more of those cases and more of this discussion about whether they are trying to do us harm right now. We have Rosemary Ellen Guiley and Philip Imbrogno. It's the Vengeful Jinn we're talking about. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@WebTV.net. That's MrUFO@WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $220. And the Berkey Guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
There's mounting evidence suggesting that there are people, governments, corporations, and whole professions intent on short-circuiting humanity's well-being. GMO, food legislation protecting big agriculture, the attempted elimination of vitamins and alternative medicines. It seems their hand has been tipped. They want to dictate your health, wealth, and your longevity. Whatever the outcome, we have a solution. Wild edible food. Why worry about food when all has been provided? We imagine that we were ejected from the garden and never invited back, but the garden's still here. There is an endless wild abundance which grows all over our green earth, just waiting for you to wake up and see it. Let author Linda Runyon teach you how to see, know, get, prepare, store, and eat wild edible food. Save money, add nutrition, and ignore the noise when you go shopping in nature's supermarket. Go to ofthefield.com and get started today. Or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and begin to see a different world.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Hi, my name's Russ, and after my heart attack, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I needed to keep on working, but now it's becoming a problem. I heard about these garlic cayenne drops and hoped it would help me. Well, I've been taking them for about 4 months, and the way I'm feeling now, I can see how I just might make it to retirement, thanks to Extendivite.
My name's Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Kurt Seven, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
We have Rosemary Ellen Guiley, Phil Imbrock. No, the vegetable gin is on the table for discussion. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Now, Rosemary, you had started this discussion about things they might be doing to do us harm. Do you think any of the conflicts we see around the world are caused not by our own warring nations or tribes, but by them?
It's certainly possible, and we've collected some cases that we also think are the tip of an iceberg in terms of returning American servicemen from the Middle East who are seem to be coming home with gin attachments. And whether that just sort of happens to them in the circumstances of combat, or whether there are our own mortal enemies who are able to marshal the gin in ways against us, remains to be known. But I suspect that it happens more than we realize. And, of course, some of the servicemen who come home with lots of trauma, there are a lot of things going on in addition to what seem to be gin attachments. But they could certainly be taking advantage of a lot of our natural conflicts. We have to be open to the speculation that there are human forces and agencies who are able to collaborate with the gin, or even co-opt the gin in some way to work for them, sort of as invisible mercenary force.
Wow, that brings up a very interesting point, and one that I raised in my book, Stalking the Tricksters, and that is that there seems to be a kind of a school of thought in the Middle East that, you know, this Western aggression that appears to be going on as we speak right now, look at Libya, Western aggression in the Middle East may be Jin-inspired. I think that there's, let's put it this way, I think that it wouldn't surprise me if a fair number of people in the Middle East that believe in the Jin and have a deeper understanding of the concept than we do in the West would equate Jin activity to, the type of political strife that has been instigated by the Western powers in the Middle East. Now, I know that's an overly simplistic kind of hypothesis, but what do you think of that? I mean, Phil, you were over there. Do, people in the Middle East think that there's somehow a Jin influence on American foreign policy there?
Well, they do believe that Jin have taken control over certain villages and towns in Syria and Iraq and in Oman and some of the other Arab countries. And they also believe that certain Jin have made deals, three wishes, so to speak, with certain political leaders and also certain rebel leaders, rabble-rousers, religious leaders, to give them power and to manipulate situations so they can get into power. And, of course, for what they want is the human race to be in total discord so they can make it easier for them to come into our world and take control. So you have all of these stories. And then you have all of these other strange stories about Jin entering our dimension and the government trying to capture one, the governments of the world. So, I mean, what is really going on? I mean, is this a psychosis of the 21st century that we have to blame it on all our problems on dimensional beings? Or are these dimensional beings really existing and causing all this? And it seems that all of this is happening in the Middle East. Every time we look at it, another country is breaking out with riots. And this is exactly the way I heard the Jin would operate. They would
divide and conquer
certain leaders and give them power in order to do this so they can gain control. But in the end, the Jin wants his payment, and then who knows what that's going to be. It's not going to be good for the person they made the deal with or the human race.
But if the Jin are so powerful, and I don't really understand this to this day, and certainly listening to this discussion, they're so powerful, why do they need to work behind the scenes? Where can't they just break through the dimensional barrier and just take us over?
Well, because, first of all, it's not all the Jinn. There is a certain number of Jinn that want to coexist with the human race, and they're waiting for the time for it to happen. There is a smaller number of Jinn, almost terrorist-like Jinn.
I understand the point of the terrorist Jinn, the good Jinn, the bad Jinn,
and the very bad Jinn. But you see, the power is limited.
Phil, I understand that. I understand that we have good Jinn and bad Jinn from what you said before. The question here is, though, the factions that are evil, are they being kept under control by the authorities, by the good Jinn, or what?
They're probably checked from time to time, but their power is limited. They don't have unlimited power. When they expel power, they have to rest, just like you going to work and or going out and cutting the grass. After you do that, you need to take a rest. When they expel energy, they have to rest and rebuild their resources up. And the human race, our world is so involved with so much technology and so many people. They really don't have the power just to come in and wipe us all out. They have to do it. They're coming in and they're doing it through our own. Plus, they're being checked. So but they don't have limitless power, but they have more power than human beings do. And they do have power, but it has a limit to it.
Okay, now, the good Jinn, the ones who want to coexist with humans, where do we reach the point where that can happen? Do we have to get all the tribes, the warring tribes on this planet, to be a little bit more cooperative before that happens? What?
I would think that they're waiting for a point. See, according to the ancient beliefs, Jinn are afraid of humans, and humans were afraid of Jinn. One of the things they're afraid of is that human beings are very violent, and they're unpredictable. And the Jinn see this aggression as sooner or later human beings enslaving them again. And so there's a distrust between humans and Jinn. And, of course, they're lost in our legend, so no people don't think about them anymore. But most Jinn still remember humans, and they still distrust them. But you have to remember, there are probably also many Jinn who have never encountered humans. to them, humans are just a legend.
They don't believe in us, and we don't believe
in
them.
Yeah, we don't believe in that, we don't believe in you.
Good point.
But, you know, I mean...
Chris, any more questions
like
from the forums?
Yeah, go ahead, Phil. Sorry, we cut you off there.
Go ahead. Yeah, finish it up, Phil, and then we'll ask the questions. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's like a double-edged sword. You know, I mean, you know, you have to take into account that, you know, the psyche of the human race and the psyche of the gender, both free-willed beings, throughout the ages, they have grown this distrust for each other. And there is a faction of jinn. I really don't call them the good. They're the indifferent. They're hoping one day that they can coexist with human beings once again. And there is certain number of jinn that would destroy them. I mean, if a certain number of jinn came into our world with their power and everything, don't you think that certain governments of the world would try to exploit them?
Yeah.
I mean, well, they fear us.
Well, that leads me to Philip Dean's question, and we kind of touched on this before, but could you ask Phil if he thinks the military units assigned to track or capture the djinn have had any success? In other words, have they ever captured a djinn? Also, is this just confined to U.S. activity? I think you answered that before by saying that the Saudis were implicated in at least those two instances that you cited about military units showing up during a djinn sighting. But do you think that there has been any success in this regard? And what would be the motivation, do you think, for the U.S. to be going over to the Middle East trying to capture a djinn?
I just want to point out before we get started here that we're about to break for our final break for the session, so hold that and answer about whether we have captured a djinn and where would they be. Are they being kept on ice? Is it kind of like the legends of Roswell? Gets to be very interesting. The forums we keep mentioning on the show where we're asking all those questions, that's forum.paracast.com. That's forum.paracast.com. It's very easy to join up. You give yourself a unique username, then you can participate. And when we have the question bank feature for an upcoming guest, you can ask the questions and we try to get to most of them. Sometimes we have too many questions, but we do our best. Phil Imbrogno joining us, Rosemary Ellen Guiley. The book is The Vengeful Djinn. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I am 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Hilly Rose, and I hope that you do listen to the Paracast because you will learn a great deal about the paranormal.
We have one more segment with Philip Imbrogno, Rosemary Ellen Guiley. The Vengeful Djinn is our topic. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. So, Phil, we left that question on the table. Have we captured a djinn?
When I was in the Middle East in Saudi Arabia, and I was at the dinner table with a member of the royal family, a cousin, I asked him, and he told me of the operation of you know, trying to catch the djinn, capture a djinn, the gate, the tekel. I asked him, has a djinn ever been captured? And he said he did not know because the matter is of the highest security, and he wouldn't be privileged to that information. So I have to go with that. I don't know if they actually captured one or not. But you do hear rumors about, let's say, our government and other governments of the world, main powers, making deals with, you know, certain type of entities who are dimensional in nature and so on. So
it may be
possible that, you know, the governments of the world, some governments of the world, some leaders of the world have made deals with them and had communication with them. But whether or not they've actually captured one and have one on ice, I couldn't tell you.
Like a Faustian bargain.
It's probably as elusive as the alleged ETs that we've supposedly captured.
Yeah. Good point. Well, I have another question here. I happened to post a very interesting article written by kind of a bit of a rabble-rouser in the UFO field, Anthony Bregaglia. And the last question that I have here is from JT, and he says, given Phil's military background, I'd be interested to hear his thoughts and insights on the National Reconnaissance Office. Bregaglia's article goes into some pretty interesting questions about, you know, who actually has been monitoring UFO activity on this planet. And, of course, the NRO would be kind of the hidden agency that might be sitting on quite a wealth of data. What do you know about the NRO, and what do you think, Phil? Do you think they've got some smoking gun evidence?
I don't know. You know, I have to remember my military experience was you know, somewhat limited to operations in Cambodia during the Vietnam War. So I never really came across UFO documents or UFO information in that nature. But during my investigations as a UFO investigator, especially during the Hudson Valley case, I was contacted by the Air Force directly regarding the sightings, and I was the first civilian contacted directly by the Air Force since Project Blue Book closed down. So I imagine, and the people who contacted me were just obviously getting information for somebody else. They were in front for somebody else. So, you know, I see a certain aspect of the government, and the government's a big word, but there are probably very, very, you know, small units of operations that are in the government collecting information on UFOs. That's obvious from the contacts that I've had over the years with people from the NSA and the CIA and so on, and some of my investigations that I've run into brick walls and actually been threatened at times, telling me to back off, especially when I was investigating the sightings at the Indian Point nuclear reactor in Buchanan, New York, where the sightings were verified. I was told to back down. So there are very strong arms in the United States government that are monitoring this.
Okay, well, that's it for my questions, Gene, in terms of our forum posters.
Well, I'm going to ask you folks, because we have a few minutes left, Rosemary or Phil, either one of you can answer this question, which is, where should we go in terms of scientific investigation to try to get more information about this? Because obviously, if we have creatures from another dimension who want to take over, want to interact with us and do us harm, we've got to do something to combat that. So, Rosemary, Phil, who wants to answer that? What do we do?
Well, one thing that we can do, and Phil can address this from a scientific perspective, first of all, we have to have information and knowledge, which is one of the reasons why we wrote the book, to inform people what we think is going on, and to make people aware of the fact that we are engaging with entities, and they may not be who we think they are. We have been working on some equipment that Phil has been very innovative with in developing in terms of trying to identify the places where these entities are most likely to manifest and how we can communicate with them. And we need to experiment with different ways for interacting with them and also preventing problems. In the cases we've looked into, there is no one universal remedy. People have to experiment with a variety of things to find out what is effective for them, and that may have to do with the nature of their consciousness, the situation, and the power and objectives of the jinn they're interacting with. Bill, do you want to...
The first thing we have to do is identify where they're coming in, because they're hidden. And when you have a portal open up, a dimensional portal, you're going to have a flood of elementary particles coming in. These particles interact with matter in our universe, and devices can be constructed to detect it. As a matter of fact, we've already got prototypes for it. It's a long story, but it's in the new book, and it's quite promising right now. It's a long scientific explanation, but it has to do with the interaction of elementary particles on electrons in our reality to produce a pattern showing where the portal is opening up. And this is not all magic and all wah-wah wonderland. This is all, you know, based on theoretical physics, modern theoretical physics, and work that I've been doing up at MIT.
Yeah, there was a question here, actually, that I missed, and it was, again, from Trained Observer. Asked Phil to elaborate on some of the technical aspects of his instrumentation project and what you're trying to detect and how. And it sounds like this will be a perfect subject for when you guys come back for your next visit. We can talk about some of these attempts at designing the instrumentation, some of the protocols that you would put in place. And also, I must mention that I'm looking forward to doing a field trip with Rosemary up to the San Luis Valley here this spring to a couple of spots that I've identified as being, I think, by a loose definition, a location-specific portal spot, if you will. Where,
fast question. Does that mean we'll have an on-the-scene PowerCast episode?
It's up to Rosemary and whether I can get the time off. It would be great.
You know, I'm so excited about this because, Chris, your work in the San Luis Valley has been so intriguing to me. It's a place I've wanted to return to do more research, and to be able to do that with you in all these hot spots. And I think this fits the profile of a gin area, too.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's just going to be great. So I would definitely be up for seeing what we could do show-wise on that.
We're just about out of time, guys. So we'll be updating our listeners as to how this trip manifests itself, what kind of show we can set up, and whether I'll be talking to Chris and Rosemary and suddenly they'll disappear into that,
down that rabbit hole.
Your house.
They'll go into the dimensional warp, you know, the window area, the anomaly, whatever. Rosemary Ellen Guiley, where can we find more of the things you do?
Two websites. My main website is visionaryliving.com, www.visionaryliving.com. And then Phil and I have set up a brand new website called Gin Universe, and that's djinnuniverse.com, as a place not only to publicize the book, but to set up some information and education about the gin, and we invite reader comments and reader experiences. That's a great way for people to learn what's going on and to validate their own experiences and reevaluate them from the standpoint of gin.
Next week we'll have Benjamin Radford. We'll be talking on the PowerCast about the Chupacabra, real or fantasy. On a future episode, we'll be featuring none other than Jesse Ventura. Chris O'Brien, where do we find more of your stuff?
Well, I'm at theforum.theparacast.com, and also I have a website, ourstrangeplanet.com. And I want to thank Rosemary and Phil for being on the show. This has been very enlightening. I think it's going to stimulate a lot of conversation on our forums, and we look forward to having you guys back.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to be with you both tonight.
A super pleasure. A gin pleasure.
Paracast is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
The people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.